Exodus chapter 25, verses 10 through 22. This is the reading of God's word. They shall construct an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, and 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and out, you shall overlay it. And you shall make a gold molding around it. You shall cast 4 gold rings for it, and fasten them on its 4 feet. And 2 rings shall be on one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark with them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be removed from it. You shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold, make them of hammered work at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end and 1 cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim of one piece with the mercy seat at its 2 ends. The cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings and facing one another. The faces of the cherubim are to be turned toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I will give to you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love toward us, and we thank you for the word that you have given us. As we hear your word, cause our faith to grow, for you have promised us that faith comes from hearing of your word. O Father, and with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ. We pray that through your word that we will be able to see what your Son has already accomplished for us, our heavenly reality, that we may give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Let us rejoice for what you have done for us and what you have accomplished for us. And Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us who are hearing your word will understand and will believe and will obey your word. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The tabernacle. There is this outer wall, or I should say a fence, around the house. So if you picture in your head, there's a fence around, and inside there's a house, and there's a yard. So, and the entrance, you will find at the east side. You go into the court, the yard. The first thing you will see is the bronze altar for the burnt offering. Past that, you see a bronze basin, a laver full of water. And beyond that, we see a building, a house, if you will. And this house has 2 rooms. The first room is bigger than the second room that is behind the first. Actually, the first room is double the second room in its size. The first room is called the Holies, and the second room behind that is called the Holy of Holies. And when you enter the first room, the holies, you will see the three items in the room. And beyond these three items is a curtain that separates the first and the second room. The first item on your right side is the golden table for the bread, 12 breads of the presence. And the second item on your left is the golden lampstand. And the third item right before the curtain is the altar of incense. And when you go beyond the curtain, entering the second room, the Holy of Holies, you will see something like a chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which we are looking at today. Why not just give you a picture of the tabernacle, you might ask? The reason why I do not is simple. God did not. Thus, no one really knows perfectly how the tabernacle and its furniture really look like. You know, there are some people who are actually making this out there. But let me tell you, we cannot have 100% confidence that that was how it truly looked like. And, you know, God did not give us a picture. He could have done it. But He didn't. And that means we are satisfied with this description in His Word. Now, from verse 10 then, we have God's instructions for the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. It is sometimes called the Ark of Testimony, like in verse 22. It is to be made with, according to NASB's translation, the acacia wood. But we are not 100% sure that it was acacia wood as we know it today. But it really doesn't matter. 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide and 1.5 cubits high. A cubit is an old measurement unit based on the length of your forearm. So, you know, you get a regular guy and how long is his forearm? That's the cubit. And if you think about it, you know, we say 1 foot. Where do you think that came from? Anyway, so the width and the depth are the same. And it's the length is longer than width and depth. But some translations have it as 45 inches long and 27 inches wide and 27 inches high. So if you want to, like, you need to picture this, how big it is. 45 inches long and 27 inches wide and 27 inches high. So it's not that big thing, but you could kind of draw in your head. They are to overlay it with pure gold inside and out. And they are to make a gold molding around the ark. The ark is to have 4 feet or 4 legs. They are to make 4 gold rings and fasten them on those 4 feet. So you have, this rectangular shape, like a box chest. And there's 4 legs, and on those legs, there's 4 rings. Now, there are two rings on the one side, and other 2 rings on the other side. And with the same wood, they are to make poles, long poles. And these poles are to be overlaid with gold also, and they are to put the poles into those rings on the sides of the ark, so that they could carry the ark with them. Because if anybody touches the ark, he will die. So you use this pole to carry the ark. The pole shall remain in the rings of the ark, and they are to put into the ark the testimony that God will give them. The testimony. In Hebrews chapter 9, they are called the tablets of the covenant. Two tablets of stone on which God wrote the Ten Commandments. You know, when you, I don't know, you guys are too young, maybe some of you are at least. You didn't see the Ten Commandments movie. You know, Moses carrying those two tablets of stone. And on it, Ten Commandments are written. And according to Hebrews chapter 9, there were two other things that must be in the Ark of the Covenant. Not only those two tablets that the Ten Commandments were written on it, but a golden jar holding the manna should be in there. And Aaron's rod, which budded, should be in there. So then there's the Ark of the Covenant, this chest. And they are to also make the mercy seat on the top of the ark. Mercy seat. NIV calls it the atonement cover. So this mercy seat is like a lid of the ark. There's a chest and there's a cover. There's a lid that covers the top. That's the mercy seat. The Hebrew word for this mercy seat, it means covering. And this is significant because it's where people's sins are covered. Thus, NIV calls it, this mercy seat, as atonement cover. Atonement covering, like I said before. And the word is related to the Day of Atonement. The atonement cover or the mercy seat is where the blood of animal is sprinkled upon. It is to be made with pure gold. Its measurement is the same as the length and the width of the ark. They are to make also two cherubim, meaning angels at the top of the mercy seat, top of this lid. They are to make two angels, cherubim. One at the one end and the other at the other end. These cherubim must be of gold, and they are to make them of hammered work at the two ends of the mercy seat, and cherubim must be of one piece with the mercy seat. The cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings and facing one another. So I guess you could kind of picture what's going on there. The faces of the cherubim are to be turned toward the mercy seat. And God says in verse 22, "There I will meet with you." And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. So this is how the Holy of Holies will look. There will be this ark of the covenant with the top, and there's a angel, two angels facing one another, looking at the mercy seat. And God says, there, on that mercy seat, that's where I'm going to meet you and talk to you. Once a year, only once a year, only the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies and sprinkles the blood of animals to atone his own and God's people's sin. So it's only high priest who is representing the people. And once a year he meets with God at the mercy seat. And every time he meets with God, he needs to carry that blood of animal because God is consuming fire. Sinners cannot come out to God. God will consume them with fire. So they have to carry that blood, meaning that that animal who dies points to Jesus Christ. The blood of that animal points to Jesus' blood. And through that blood, then his sins are cleansed. And, you know, that has to be done in order for him to come to God and meet with him. The picture is that of God covering the sins of his people. Thus, the mercy seat is the place where God's people's sin is atoned. And the mercy seat is a picture of something else also. Obviously, it is a seat, a place to seat. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 2 calls the ark as the footstool of our God. So mercy seat is him sitting on the mercy seat. Right below it is the Ark of the Covenant. And the 1 Chronicles 28 calls that the footstool of our God. So you could kind of picture God sitting on the mercy seat and using the Ark of the Covenant as his footstool. And Psalm 80 verse 1 says that God is the one who are enthroned above the cherubim. Or NIV has it, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim. In Isaiah 6, we see God is sitting on a throne and the seraphim, angels again, stood above him. You put all these verses together, we are able to say that the mercy seat is a micro version of the throne of God in heaven. That God's throne. That's what you are seeing in the Holy of Holies. Yes, it is a picture of the glorious throne of God. And yes, in heaven right now, God is seated on his throne. And the army of angels surround him. And he speaks to his people from his throne. It is our heavenly reality, even now, as we come to God to worship. But that is the picture that we see in the Holy of Holies. Again, verse 22, there I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. Now, verse 16. You shall put into the Ark the testimony which I shall give you. The two tablets of stone on which the Ten Commandments are written are to be put into the Ark of the Covenant. They are the witness of the covenant. They are the covenant document. Like the contract that two parties must sign. Thus, most likely, two tablets of stone have exactly the same things written on them. Most likely, all Ten Commandments are written on each tablet of stone. So that it will be two copies of the contract. Because it was a covenant that God was making with his people. They point to the fact that God will remember the covenant that he has made with his people. The cherubim and the throne point to God's holiness and his righteousness. Psalm 89 verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. The ark also points to God's holiness, thus the high priest must carry a bowl filled with the blood of the animal. The ark also points to the reality that God is with his people. God leads them. Numbers chapter 10, verse 33 to 36. Thus they set out from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, with the ark of the covenant of the Lord journeying in front of them for the 3 days to seek out a resting place for them. The cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Then it came about when the ark set out that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." When he came to rest, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel." So this Ark of the Covenant was leading God's people. It symbolizes that God is with them. The ark points to God's presence. God is the one who brings the judgment upon the sinners in the city of Jericho. At the city of Jericho, the ark marches with the army of God. The Israelites are as filthy sinners as they are as the people who live in Jericho. I mean, there's no difference. But only difference is that to people in Jericho, this ark brings judgment to them because it's the holy throne of God. But to Israelites, this ark, which should have been used to bring them the judgment from God, but this ark to them is also the mercy seat. And the picture is that the animals receive the judgment instead of the Israelites, and their blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat for the atonement of their sins, to cover their sins. As we could see more and more, as we see how they are to construct this tabernacle, coming to God, meeting with God, this is a serious problem for the sinners. Because of sin, meeting God is the most terrifying experience for the sinners. God is consuming fire, but nevertheless, through the tabernacle and the ministry in the tabernacle, God, our gracious God, provides the way for the sinners to come to Him. And that way is with the blood, which points to how we need Jesus Christ and His cross, His death on the cross. But the atonement of sin in the Old Testament is just a type. The high priest of the Old Testament, they die. The sacrifice, the animals are not the perfect sacrifice, thus they remain dead. Their blood is not the perfect blood. The two tablets of stone witness their sins, and they are guilty according to the covenant. So God's people need better high priest and better sacrifice and better blood to atone our sins completely and perfectly. And as you know, Jesus Christ is that better high priest for you and for me. He is not a high priest according to the order of Aaron in the Old Testament, for that order could not bring perfect salvation. Jesus gave himself as the perfect sacrifice for all of his people's sin. He was resurrected. He did not remain dead. This shows that he is righteous. He is the perfect sacrifice, not tainted with sin. His blood is the perfect blood to atone our sin once and for all. His sacrifice is the once and for all sacrifice because it is the perfect sacrifice. To offer again and again shows that the sacrifice is not perfect. I mean, if Old Testament sacrifice was perfect, then how come they offer them again and again and again? Once it is perfect, that means it's done. You don't have to do it again. Jesus Christ, His own sacrifice is the perfect sacrifice. That's why when you come to God today, There's no sacrifice because we come through that once and for all perfect sacrifice that Jesus made 2,000 years ago. We don't have to sacrifice again to come to God anymore. And that is how we come to God today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year after year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So as they offer this sacrifice again and again, actually it reminds them of their sins. But when we look at Jesus' perfect sacrifice, it reminds us that our sins are completely paid for once and for all. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, therefore it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see, no more types. Because Jesus has made for his people once and for all the perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins. And what happens in the Holy of Holies once a year points to what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished on the cross. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom Jesus, God displayed publicly as a propitiation, meaning appeasing the wrath of God, in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. NIV has, rather than propitiation, sacrifice of atonement. Jesus is the sacrifice of atonement for our sins. Through Jesus' blood. See, once a year in the Holy of Holies, this was happening in a typological way. But on the cross, unlike in the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, what is happening was not hidden. God displayed publicly. Thus, God clearly demonstrated his righteousness. He judged all our sins in Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, what God has done for his people is fully revealed. It is no longer hidden through the curtain. Thus, when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain that blocked the way to the Holy of Holies was torn, just like his body was torn on the cross. The way to the Holy of Holies is forever opened in Jesus. It points to the fact that the way to the tree of life is forever opened in Jesus Christ. The way to God is forever opened in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we are able to come to God and meet with him anytime, anywhere. But spiritually, it is always in heaven. See, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you have come into the true Holy of Holies as we worship our God. You see, not everyone is able to come in. just because physically one might be sitting here with us doesn't mean he has entered the Holy of Holies. Unless he is united to Christ, unless his sins are cleansed by the blood of Christ. See, visibly we're together, but spiritually we are not in the same place with that person who is not united to Christ, I should say. But brothers and sisters, you have become royal priesthood in Jesus Christ. In Christ, you have become the high priest of God. So, you remember in the Old Testament, it's only once a year, and only the high priest. But now, it's not once a year, it's anytime. And you are the high priest of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So he tells us that veil points to his flesh, and that veil being torn points to his body being torn, so that as his body is being torn on the cross, the way to the Holy of Holies is now open for his people. Verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You have come to God in heaven. You are able to come to God with confidence, with boldness in Jesus Christ. You know, thank God for what Christ has done. In the Old Testament, high priest, he could only meet God in the Holy of Holies once a year. But as he goes in, he wears the bells. And what we learn is that the rope is around his belly. And people from outside, they hear his ring, you know, bell ringing, meaning that he's doing everything according to God's word. But one mistake, he's dead. And they have to pull the rope because they cannot go in there. They will die too. They have to pull the rope because he's dead, because he did something wrong. It is impossible for a sinner to meet God. And you have to really, really appreciate what God has accomplished for you. That you could meet him anytime you want, and with boldness and with confidence that he will receive you with joy. This is what our salvation is all about. Because how we dare approach God as a sinner? Only result will be that we will be dead forever. That will be only result as we approach God. But look at what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Are you sitting there with fear? No. And yet we are in front of God. And we are in front of God with joy. There is no fear. This is what our Lord has accomplished for us. He says again, verse 22, there I will meet with you and I will speak to you. Do you see how this is perfectly fulfilled for you and for me in Jesus Christ? This is actually our present spiritual heavenly reality. You and I have come into the true Holy of Holies. God is seated at His throne, and the angels surround Him, and His people are gathered at His feet, and that is exactly what we behold as we worship our God. No more types. Perfectly accomplished our eternal reality of heaven. And this reality, brothers and sisters, will soon be visible when Jesus returns to gather His people into His kingdom. And brothers and sisters, see how the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and the cherubim are so closely related to us. It's not some faraway stories that has nothing to do with you. The redemptive history of God is our salvation history. But thanks to be God and praise Him, that we don't have to deal with types any longer. Because Jesus came and He has accomplished our eternal heavenly reality. Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray that you would really think about this deeply. Just the fact that you are meeting God, and even as we meet God, there is no fear. Actually, we joyously come to Him, and God welcomes you. He receives you with joy. If you really know that this is what is going on right now, there's nothing better than this. You must believe what the Bible tells you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your grace upon Your people. We thank You that You welcome us as we come to You, as we worship You and praise Your holy name. We thank You that we are able to draw near to You without fear. But we come to You with confidence in Jesus Christ. For our sins are cleansed, completely forgiven. And we wear Jesus' righteousness as we come to You. Oh Father, we thank You that we don't have to wait a year to meet You, but that we are able to meet You anytime in Jesus Christ. We thank You and we give You all the glory and thanksgiving. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.